Now, if you have your Bible with you, you might like to turn to Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19, and we're going to read the whole psalm. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming forth, coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and a circuit until the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It was a psalm written by King David. David was a shepherd and would have known the beauties of nature perhaps better than us. And can you just imagine if the stars were visible for just one night in a whole generation, that you in your life would perhaps have only one ever opportunity to look up and to see the stars. Just think, you would stay up for hours, you'd stay up through the whole night, gazing in wonder at the extraordinary beauty of the stars at night. We don't, in fact, appreciate the heavens anymore, more or less, I think, because we just don't see them. Most of us live in cities or towns, and sadly, the light of the towns has obliterated, or taken away, at least in part, the light from nature, the natural light. So man's light has overcome and obliterated the wonder of the heavens. But in Psalm 19 here, verses 1 to 4, he's talking about the heavens declare the glory of God. And the skies, the firmament, proclaims what he has done. Light was not a distraction in David's time, and he could appreciate these things. And he would have been far more familiar with the stars and the breathtaking beauty of them. But verse 4 begins to display the kind of image that made David write this psalm. He says, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And he's saying, just imagine, just look up. These things declare there is a God. These things are saying, there must be a God. Look up at the stars. Who made them? How did they come to be? It had to be that there is a God. And he's talking about a beautiful sunrise. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, and the sun rising in the east and going to the west. And he's saying, these things say there must be a God. The Christmas of the early morning, the feeling of newness, and the relieving warmth of the sun on a cold night. It's a lovely morning this morning after a very cold night. And the sun comes up. And it's there. It might be hidden perhaps quite often. It is in Ireland, unlike where David lived. He saw the sun very often. But it's still there, isn't it? Even when the clouds, in a cloudy day, or even days on end in Ireland when it's cloudy, still the sun is in the sky. But just imagine the kind of morning that we seldom get in this world. It convinces David to say, yes, there is a God. There's no doubt about it. And he says, for every person in this whole world, you have no excuse. You have to accept there is a God when you look at creation. It's evident, and he says it's obvious. And the whole of creation, everything is shouting out, there is a God. And that's the emphasis of the first lines of this psalm. And to go beyond that, in fact, it tells us something about God. Not just that there is a God, but it tells us about him, creation. It tells us of his glory. And that's clear. It doesn't speak with words as we do. But God does speak visibly to our minds through creation. And there's no place in the whole of creation where it's not obvious that there's a God. And therefore men should acknowledge him. They must acknowledge him. But more than that, it tells us that God is reliable. The sun never, ever fails to shine. It might be hidden by the clouds, but it is still there. So this is what we would call natural revelation. It's God speaking through us, through nature, saying, I am here, I do exist, you are without excuse, and I'm a glorious God. But the second thing it tells us is that God is faithful. Day follows day. The sun is always shining. It's still there. So those are the two things that natural revelation tells us. There is a God and he is reliable. But it doesn't really tell us a great deal more than that. Now, when I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, and I suppose I want to use this psalm to introduce how I became a Christian and how I got into Christian work. When I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, I could have agreed with everything so far in this psalm because it was true. I loved nature. I thought it was wonderful. And I remember being in Israel before I was a Christian and seeing beautiful sunrises, absolutely fabulous sunsets, and thinking, wow, this is wonderful. Isn't God good? So I knew, yes, there is a God. I acknowledged that. But then someone spoke to me as I was travelling home from Israel. Someone spoke to me about God and about Jesus. And it was a little different because, yeah, I believed in the same God of the Bible. But was he my personal God? Did I know him as my Lord? I guess no, I didn't really. That's what I had to concede, I had to admit. I knew, as it were, the God of creation, but I did not know the God of salvation. The God of creation, yes, but salvation, no, I didn't know him in that way. So when someone spoke to me about God, that you could know him in a more intimate way, I thought, well, how am I going to find out about this God? How am I going to get to know him a bit more closely? Well, that's where this psalm has the answer as we read on. Because it's from verses 7 to 11, King David says, the law of the Lord, the Bible, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And he's saying, this here, if you want to know, yes, you can learn about God from creation. But if you want to know about his character, if you want to get to know him, here's where you start. I don't believe it's just coincidence that David uses the word God when he says the heavens declare the glory of God. And he uses the word God, saying there is a God. But in verse 7, he doesn't say the law of God is perfect. No, he's saying the law of the Lord is perfect. And this is God's name. And it's through meeting him through his word that you get to know God more closely. Because God speaks personally to us through his word. God speaks to you and to me through his word, is what David is saying here. Because his word, the Bible, it tells us about sin and how we can be conscious of it. When I left this person who had said to me, you can know God more intimately, I started reading the Bible. And I was reading it and I thought, this God is wonderful and I wanted to know him. But there was a problem because I became conscious of the fact I was not good enough. Now, I didn't see myself as a great sinner, but I just could not make myself good enough to meet God. And it's as it were that the Bible was speaking to me about my own inability to meet with God. As one translator puts it in one verse in the Bible, the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And it's interesting that God writes these words in this psalm through King David. Now, David was a man, if you're familiar with the Psalms, if you're familiar with the story of King David, he had a very close relationship with God. And God spoke through him as much as he did through any of the prophets. And the New Testament, I think, quotes King David more than any other person in the whole Bible. Yet what David tells us, and he whom God spoke to very, very much, you know, he's written dozens and dozens of psalms, and yet what David is saying here is that he depends on the word of God to speak to him, not some inner voice. He's depending on God's word to speak and to guide him. And I realize that the truth of the gospel, by hearing it, finally, in his word, God spoke to me into my heart and led me to salvation in Christ, really, through constant reading of his word. After I first knew about God, God brought me to himself. Now, what I'd like to ask you is this: how does God speak to you today? Has God some further revelation, for instance? I remember one time when I was doing door-to-door work, meeting a woman. She was from South Africa, and she had been part of a church there. She was a praise leader. She wrote her own songs. I don't know what sort of church it was, but she eventually left the church. And then she said, well, you know, the God, I wouldn't even label this spirit being down to three words, G-O-D, God. And she had left God's word behind and was hearing voices in her head and was hearing misleading things. And basically the Bible was put to one side and the God or spirit or whatever she believed in was abstract and unknowable because she had left God's word behind. She had drifted totally from the truth and she no longer knew about God. If we leave God's word out of our lives, we will not know God, his will for our lives, because it is through his word that he speaks to us more than any other means. But we have to ask ourselves as Christians, we have to be careful. Are we guilty sometimes of falling into that trap a little bit? I referred earlier to the light in the stars. Now, perhaps some of you here are farmers, you live out in the country, and you can look up at night and see the stars are fabulous, they're beautiful on a clear night. But if you're living here in the city, if you're living in Lisburn, the simple fact is you probably don't see the stars at all because the street lights and the lights all over around you are dimming the light of the heavens. And sometimes it's true as well that it's true of spiritual light, because the light of this world sometimes dims the true light of the world, and that's Jesus. And we have to be careful that we do not allow other things to dim our understanding of God speaking to us through his word, through the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that men love darkness more than light. In other words, we can be guilty of saying, well, I know that the Lord has said this to me, to do this or do that. How has he spoken to you? Well, he just has. But is it through the Bible? No, I just know God wants me to do this, people will say. And if you question them, it's the greatest insult, like saying they were a murderer or something like that. Because you see, verse 12 and 13, he says here, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep thy servant back also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." Because you see, it's quite often it's not hearing God's will is our problem. It's heeding it. It's not hearing it, because we can hear it, but we can ignore it. And we hear other voices, just as I said to the children, sometimes the devil speaks through different ways to us. And whether you're a child or an adult, keep yourself focused on God's word. No, God does not speak in a different way now from the time, way he did in the time of David. And he doesn't use extra biblical means to speak more clearly. It's the same now as it was nearly 3,000 years ago in the time of David. God may be seen in creation, but he speaks through his word. And some people can look for a new and a personal revelation of what God says he has given us, but we don't need it, because God's word is truth. You might remember when Pilate was interrogating Jesus, he said, "What is truth? You know, who knows? What is truth? What is truth?" Well, Jesus didn't answer him. But Jesus had earlier said to the disciples, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And there is no other way that God speaks to us except through his word. And that ought to be enough for us. It's not always easy to obey it. But God still calls each one of us here, "Obey my word." So, how should we approach God's word? Well, I guess it's a bit like gardening. I'm not good at gardening. I used to do a little more, had more time for it, and I used to enjoy it. And there's nothing more satisfying than seeing your garden grow. But in order to see a garden grow well, it often means digging deep and working hard and getting our hands dirty and pulling out the weeds and putting time and effort into it and sometimes pruning. It takes time and it takes effort, and sometimes you feel like giving up. But in the end, it bears fruit. And in the same way with God's word, dig deep, study it, and sometimes when you come across things that God says to you, and you think, I don't really like that, because God challenges us through his word. But in order to bear fruit, we need to obey God's word. I'm going to talk a little bit about the work that I do, because the work I do is really based on God's word. It was through meeting a man in Switzerland as I was traveling home from Israel that I became a Christian. And after I left him, I started reading the Bible, and I became convicted of my need of Jesus. But it was God, his word, really, that brought me to faith in himself. And I began to realize that if God's word is that useful, I'm a Christian now for about 25 years, and I realized some years ago that if I am a Christian this long, and if through the reading of God's word I can come to faith and assurance of salvation, what was I to do with this information? What am I to do with God's word? What about other people that I grew up among who do not know God's word? I realized that people need to be told that, yeah, you know, the Bible has the answer. Well, perhaps if we start the PowerPoint at this stage, right? The Cork Kerry Project. Well, about 6 years ago, I decided, well, about 7 years ago, I was Evelyn, my wife, and I, we were always very involved, first in the Cork Baptist Church, and then when it formed some years later, the Carrigaline Baptist Church. But we were always very keen to serve God. So 6 years ago, I went to the Irish Baptist College, and it was also 6 years ago that the Cork project started. The Kerry part of it didn't exist then, and incidentally, just for your information, in Gaelic games, the Cork colours are red and white, and the Kerry colours are green and gold, so that's why the colours are a little different there. And people are very, what would you say, loyal to their county when it comes to Gaelic sports, but that's neither here nor there. But the Cork project started about 6 years ago with Mervyn Scott and his wife Karen, whom you've had here, I think, a couple of years ago. And he ended up living in Middleton, which is where one of the churches is. Now, I think if we move on to the next one. The aim of the Cork Kerry project, the Cork Church, just for your information, started about, I think, 1642 it was founded, and it had varying degrees of success and failure over the years. By the 1970s, it was declining down to, I think, about 12 members. But then they took a very brave decision, and they changed their building, and God blessed them, and he blessed them abundantly, so that about 15 years ago, they set up a daughter church in Carrigaline, where I now live. So that was the first church plant with just 8 members, and the church in Carrigaline grew. 5 years after that, the Cork Church started another church in Middleton, which is on the east side of Cork City. And there was also another church in the meantime, west side, in Bandon. Bandon is part of West Cork. And they joined the association. They were an independent group. And finally, just earlier this year, Lee Valley, that's in Ballincollig again, that's on the western side of Cork City, they joined the association. So there are now 5 churches in the Cork, around the Cork City area, within about 20 miles of Cork City. And also, there's a small group in Killarney that are linked to us. But the churches joined together, you could put the new one. And the idea of the Cork project, as it was initially, was to see evangelical churches established where none currently exist in the towns of Cork and Kerry. And it was just Cork first, because we didn't have any links with this group in Killarney. But you could put it on. So the areas that we were working in were Yall, Middleton Church, which is on it's just to the west or to the east of Cork City. Middleton decided to work in Yall, Carrigaline decided to work in Kinsale, and the Cork City Church decided to work in 2 suburbs, Ballyfihan and Douglas. And then there was a group in Killarney contacted us and said, look, there are 8 of us here. We don't have anyone to teach us. They were very solid Christians, very reliable people, but they needed teaching. So they came to some of the pastors in the area and said, we need help. Can you help us? So they came under the umbrella of the Cork Kerry project, so they are now part of it. And the idea is to see churches established in many other towns around Cork and Kerry, Clonakilty, Skibbereen, Fermoy. There are no evangelical churches. There is, in fact, in Skibbereen a gospel hall, all right. But the idea is to see solid evangelical churches. I know gospel halls are solid, but in all of those towns, to see churches growing and growing and reaching out further afield. And that is the aim of the Cork Kerry project now, to reach out to do that work. If we go to the next one, that's my family. That was taken about 6 months ago, and it's changed a lot since then, because Stephen was, he was just 13, then he's turned 14 now, and he's about my height at this stage. So 6 months can mean a lot when you're a teenager. Carol, the eldest girl, she's 19, she's in university in Cork. And Jacqueline she'll be 17 next week. She's in the local secondary school in Carrigaline. They've started a Christian union there as well to reach out to fellow students. So it's not easy. The school wasn't really that sympathetic. but they have allowed them to have it in the classrooms, and it's quite encouraging. So that's my family. I think the next one, which the idea, I'm based in Carrigaline, which is just south of Cork City, and the idea is the Carrigaline Church wants to work in Kinsale. I'll tell you a little bit about Kinsale. It's a very, very old, very historic town. It's about as old as Cork City. Was a very, very important commercial town at one stage. It's a very, very beautiful place. Really is very lovely. I don't know if many of you here have been to Kinsale. You've possibly passed through it on holiday. It's very attractive. But while it's very, very attractive materially, from a spiritual sense, it is a very, very hard, very difficult town. I've knocked on every door in the whole town, and to be honest with you, I don't know if there are any believers. There are a number of people who are Roman Catholic, and I would say, yes, they possibly are Christians, but they have no idea, no idea at all of gathering together as you do, as believers, to worship God. They go to church, but it's private worship really for them. The sense of community, the sense of church that you would know, they don't know it if they are Christians. So it is a difficult town to work in, Kinsale. But pray for a suitable venue. There was one man who became a Christian just earlier this year. Pray for a suitable venue for a Bible study to invite people to, where we can do evangelism and tell people, look, this book is worth studying because it tells us the good news about Jesus. Pray that those who have heard the gospel will be convicted by it. Later on this evening, I'll be showing you some of the ways that we reach out to people. There are various ways. One of the things we've been doing is producing a calendar. Pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in a very hard town. Kinsale is a difficult town, so please pray for it. If you want to go to the next one. Killarney, that's the lakes of Killarney. It's a bit dark there, but Killarney, again, a very beautiful place. But I can tell you it's a lot easier to work in from an evangelism point of view. You knock on the door there, and normally I have perhaps a big wad of leaflets, you know, as thick as that. But if I get through 20 of them in a day in Killarney, it's as much as it. Because people are always willing to talk. Now, it doesn't mean they become Christians, but they give time to spiritual things. They'll talk about things. So pray for Killarney. There are just 8 believers there. Pray for them that they would have an increased vision to reach out to the people around them. The next one, I think Mervyn Scott, he said he was here, I think, about 2 years ago. Mervyn and Karen, that photograph is a bit out of date at this stage. The town of Yall, again, is a very old, very historic town. It's a difficult place, not as difficult as Kinsale to work in. But pray for Yall, because the Middleton Church is working there to reach out to people with the good news, because they want to see a church established in Yall. It's got loads and loads of history, just as Kinsale. And just like Kinsale, it has a Methodist church. But unfortunately, they have churches, but there's no life there. Pray for these towns. Pray for Yall especially. I think the next one, yeah, the radio program, you prayed for it earlier. That was great. I appreciate that. The radio program is terrific. And if you come back this evening, I hope to have an audio CD of it's something that we're producing in line with the calendar to give out to people free of charge, a CD with testimonies. They're testimonies of a local couple who gave their, how they became Christian, and they spoke it on the local radio in Yall. You can hear it if you come back this evening. I'd encourage all of you to come back. Pray for the radio program. It is terrific. And more as we knock on doors, as we meet people, they'll say, ah, say to Mervyn Scott, I knew your voice from somewhere. You're on the radio, yeah. And it's great, because it means he is getting into the homes in a way that we would never get to otherwise. He has total freedom on the radio program to play what he wants. So do pray for it. Pray for relationships with individuals. It's all about reaching people with the gospel. Pray that Mervyn in particular would have that opportunity. And the regular door-to-door work, it's something I enjoy, I have to say, door-to-door work. And finally, also, he would like to have an evangelistic Bible study in the town. Pray for a place. He's looked at possibly hiring a building, just as they've done in Donegal town, just as many churches start out. But one of the difficulties in the south is the economy has been booming. Therefore, it's expensive to get any place. So pray about that. And then finally, I'll just finish on this one. Ted and Liz Kelly, I'm sure many of you here would know Pastor Ted Kelly. He was in Cork for many years. He's now living back in Bandon, and he's helping with the group in Killarney. Ted and Liz have served God faithfully. And I do evangelism in Killarney. Ted helps with the preaching quite a lot. Pray that God would motivate the group. In Killarney, unfortunately, it started out originally about 15 years ago. There was an American missionary came over. A number of people were converted, and it was great. Unfortunately, he had to go back to the States. And after he left, as so often happens, there was an element of division came in. So there are many small groups in Killarney. This particular group, Grace Fellowship, they're very solid. They follow God's word rather than feelings or music or something. Pray for them. Pray especially that they would reach out to their neighbors. Pray that they would have opportunities. So that's Kinsale, pray for a venue, pray for the people. Y'all, pray for the radio program. And Killarney, pray that they would reach out to their neighbors. I'm going to have to leave it at that, I think, because time is gone. But that's just a brief report on the work. If you'd come back this evening,